venerable religious, dear parishioners, today we begin the pre-Lenten season. And more often than not, we don't see the purple vestments of Septuagesima till after Candlemas Day. We know that Candlemas Day is called the conclusion, the final conclusion of the Christmas season, because it's the 40 days after the birth of our Lord that he's presented in the temple. And we have that very special ceremony on February 2nd, calling to mind the presentation in the temple. We also call it the purification of Our Lady. Not that she was in any way defiled or needing purification, but she observed the law of purification, which was that after burying a baby boy, a mother would be legally unclean for 40 days till after the birth, and then she would present her child in the temple. Well, that is what we celebrate this Saturday. And if I had my druthers, as the saying goes, Septuagesima would fall after the purification. However, Septuagesima is tied to the greatest feast of the church year, which is Easter. And that is a variable date every year. It's always I forget the exact formula, but it's always after the first full moon of spring. So in recent years, we've had one of the earliest Easters we could ever have. I think it was March 23rd or 24th. That was the earliest any of us will see. And then more recently, we had a very late Easter, almost towards the end of April. So that's how variable it can be. So it has to obviously conform to that. Septuagesima is the Latin word for 70. And it's not an exact calculation, but it's approximately 70 days before Easter, hence the name Septuagesima. Next Sunday is called Sexagesima, which is the Latin word for 60. Now, obviously, there's not 10 days in the week, so these are just rounded approximate numbers. And then we will have after that Quinquagesima, which means 50. And then the Latin word for Lent is Quadragesima, which means 40. So it is obviously to help us think about and prepare for Easter. And we need to begin that today because of the date of Easter this year. We see purple vestments on Septuagesima because today we're supposed to reflect upon a sad fact. But not demoralizing or depressing, but it is sad. And the sad fact is this, that we are fallen. Hence the introit for today, which has a pretty sorrowful note. The sorrows of death have encompassed me. In other words, today we're supposed to look at ourselves and say, I am not in a perfected state. I am in a fallen state. I am in a state where not only have I inherited the sin of my first father, Adam, which fortunately was washed away in baptism, but I have the lingering effects of original sin. I have added my own sins to that. I am fallen. And that's the saddening thought. This is not to say that we are all bad. This was the error of Martin Luther, who taught that we are totally depraved. I guess that would be the best word to use. All evil. And according to his heretical formula, therefore only faith could save us, because we're so hopelessly lost, even any good deed we do isn't going to make any difference. Obviously, this is heretical teaching, and unfortunately led many people astray into that spiritual poison of thinking that faith alone saves you. On the other hand, we are not all good either. We're never going to be all good, not until we get to heaven. So this is our major reflection for today, that we are fallen. And the reason the church puts it here is that if we don't have this realization, we cannot have a good Lent. I mean, why do penance unless we are well aware of the fact that we are fallen? It is such a tragic commentary on Vatican II that these three Sundays, Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima, and purple vestments were abolished by the modern church. They're in the new Mass, which is no Mass at all, but anyway, it's being offered in green vestments, and then they go right into Lent without any preparation. And this is where that awareness of the evil of sin comes in, when we look at ourselves and say, I am fallen. To me, it's no wonder that the sense of sin has been lost in the modern church. Why so many people who call themselves Catholics openly are in favor of such things as abortion or birth control things that are absolutely sinful. They've lost the sense of sin because that modern church doesn't even want them to look at themselves on Septuagesima and say, I am fallen. I'm a sinner. So in the breviary readings, which talk about the creation and fall of man this week, and also in the introit, the church has established, we are fallen. However, as I said, it's not to be demoralizing or depressing, because there is a solution. And we might ask ourselves, well, what are we going to do about it? Well, St. Paul gives us the solution in the epistle for today. I chastise my body and bring it under subjection. That's the logical inference to make. If I am fallen, then I will have to discipline myself. I will have to do penance so that my fallen condition doesn't lead me to eternal ruin. So the church, as a very wise and loving mother, is preparing us for Lent. She's already instilling into us today a reminder of our fallen condition, that we will need to do penance, and hence we can prepare for Lent. It makes no sense to drop the pre-Lenten season and just expect to have a good observance of Lent. We are only as good as we prepare for something. It's like if I can give the analogy of a team, a baseball team, for example. What manager would just say, no practice this week, let's just show up for the game and let's have a great game? Well, it's never going to be a great game because the preparation wasn't there. There's also a great note of hope in the gospel. We read about people being hired throughout the day. And at the end of the day, those that were hired at the 11th hour, which would be roughly equivalent to 4 or 5 p.m., they got a full day's wage. And what that full day's wage represents symbolically is salvation. That there can be people who are great sinners, but fortunately, by the grace of God, just before they died, or just a short years before they died, they made that conversion, and they were able to save their souls at the end. Now, this does not mean that we should run that risk of living badly and hope to save our souls in the end. That doesn't work as a rule. There's a saying, as you live, so shall you die. But be that as it may, it does happen that sometimes people towards the end of their lives begin to turn it around. We have to praise God for that, because they are special recipients of God's mercy. Now, this doesn't mean that they'll have the same degree of glory in heaven. Right reason and common sense tells us that the more good you've done in life, the higher a place you'll have in heaven. But there is a sort of equality there where everybody gets the same reward insofar as they get to be with God face to face for all eternity. That's the very essence of heaven. That's the very essence of our eternal reward, should we persevere and make it. So in that sense, the equality is there, that everybody gets to see God. It's just that the more good you did, the closer you will be. So the reason the church puts this gospel here is to say that at no matter what moment of our lives, whether it be young, middle-aged, or even old age, it's never too late to try to do the right thing. If somebody is trying, even in his waning hours, to do the right thing and calls out to God in prayer, as I believe the gradual tells us for today, God will hear his prayer and that person will receive mercy. How hopeful and wonderful that is. So man need never to despair, but he must take his salvation seriously. This is the most important thing in our lives. Nothing else in life matters. And that reminds me of the motto of St. John Bosco that he had, whose feast we'll be celebrating this Thursday, the great inspiration for all educators and all parents. The motto he had for his school was, "Give me souls, take away the rest." And he preached that to his boys and girls too, I think, in the schools he founded for them. He preached that day in and day out. Yes, be a success educationally, but remember, nothing is as important as the salvation of your soul. I put in the bulletin the prayer that we often pray as teachers, and I'd like to close with this prayer because it reminds us of the battle that we are fighting for our children's souls. There is so much to derail them. And we must persevere. We must be consistent. We must pray. We must get on our knees. We must sacrifice so that children are protected, that children are not led astray. And will you please also join us in this prayer? As I said, it's not just for teachers. I think it's for all, for parents as well. You have just as much the reason to be concerned for your children's souls, and even more so as having the primary right and duty of education of them. So let us pray to St. John Bosco to help us remember that our children do have that fallen human nature, and therefore they need to be protected, therefore they need to be guided, therefore they need to be instructed so that they can reach that all-important goal of eternal salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.